No, with me on the line is Ireland South MEP for Sinn Féin, Kathleen Function, who is in Kerry today. Kathleen, good morning to you. Thanks for talking to us in the programme this morning.
Good morning, Gerry. Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm en route to Kerry now as we speak. So very much looking forward to touching base with our team down there, your councillors and Pat Daly TD. So have a good day planned, hopefully. Yeah.
You're going to be visiting Tiernanogue Early Years Care Centre and Education Centre and also Adapt Kerry Women's Refuge, two issues that you're pretty passionate about.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to both visits. As you know, I was on your own programme a few months ago about my own situation. So I'm really looking forward to getting to meet people in the Adapt Women's Refuge. I think as well, we had a group over to Brussels recently around kind of prevention of domestic violence and programmes that could be rolled out in relation to that. Deirdre Ferris actually joined us on that. And I think, you know, that's something that I'm trying to look at from a European point of view in terms of potential funding and different programmes that we could be doing, because loads of what I found is loads of refugees are doing really, really good work, but they're often funding these programmes themselves, and it can be very difficult, and sometimes they're pilot programmes. But really, we need to look at that prevention piece and how we start that conversation, because as we know, you know, and I always say this, all our minds are always go to immediately getting women and children out of really horrific situations. But then we also need to look at kind of long term and how we have those conversations around prevention. And then obviously childcare as well. I did a huge amount of work on this when I was a TD and I was our spokesperson. And as we know, people are under serious pressure in terms of trying to access places. And there's some great facilities like that, like Tiernanogue, doing really, really good work. And just trying to see, I think it's a really important part of the job is actually getting out, talking to people, talking to services, you know, talking to them about the issues and what's affecting everyone kind of in their day-to-day lives. I think it's one of the key parts to being able to represent properly is getting out of the office, you know what I mean, and to getting engaged in that type of work.
Yeah, indeed. And that is part of the importance of keeping an eye on it, making sure that as many people have access to it as possible in an affordable way. Can I ask you, Kathleen, just on a separate issue before we talk about other issues, your reaction just on a European level to the decision of RTE to pull from the Eurovision if Israel are part of it? One of our listeners has suggested this morning, and I suppose it's a point that we had Dana Rosemary Scallon on as well, who's deeply concerned about what's happening in Gaza and the persecution of people there and the killing of people there and the enforced famine.
Yeah.
But she has said she's got concerns about the decision because of what it's doing. I'll give you a point from other listeners saying, look, they feel that all RTE have done is pour more petrol in the fire. We could now end up with no Eurovision, no celebration of music, because, you know, this will make Europe more divided instead of more united at a key time for the bloc, with all the threats from outside, Russia's invasion of Ukraine and what's happening in the Middle East and what's happening with the inability to be able to rely on America for reasonable defence cooperation, all of those issues. What's your view on the debate?
Yeah, so really good points, actually. So I welcome the decision by RTE. I think it's the right one to make. I don't think we should... First of all, I suppose the key thing is Israel shouldn't be allowed to take part. I mean, they are committing genocide. They're committing war crimes, you know, led by their Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who I would call a war criminal. And I don't believe they should be involved. I suppose if they are going to be involved, what the next best thing others can do is to boycott it. Obviously, that's a new decision and they haven't done that for the past few years. So I would say that it wasn't a decision that they made lightly. They are seeing that people are really, really angry. People are really, really feeling really desperate as well at this stage as to what exactly they can do. Like, there's vigils, there's marches, there's protests. And I would say the decision is down to the pressure, the people pressure as well, and people. So I would commend everyone, all the activists that have been involved in the campaign supporting Palestine and Gaza over the last not just since 2023, but over the last number of decades as well. But I do understand, you know, we're in uncertain times, we're in difficult times. You know, I think Trump brought a whole different dynamic to that, a very negative one, I have to say. But I also do think that people, we can't sit idly by and watch a genocide happen, and we have to get to a point where serious pressure is put on the likes of Ursula von der Leyen and the European Commission to, you know, stop trade with Israel, to make sure that we're not supporting any sort of trade, and that there's proper sanctions in place. And I think that this is part of that. You know, if other countries like Spain has come out with some really strong points as well in relation to sanctions on Israel. And I think that that's what we're going to need to see happening now. Individual member states, you know, trying to make these decisions. You know, I think that we need to see our own government passing the Occupied Territories Bill in full, including services. We need to ensure that Shannon is not being used, which we know it is being used for weapons to pass through. And I suppose it's gotten to a point where absolutely everything has to be looked at. And I think that's why the decision was made. I welcome it. I do understand as well the difficult times we're living in, but we can't just sit by and see a genocide happen. And I suppose, like, people, as I said, are feeling a bit desperate at times and not sure exactly what they can do. You know, people are always saying, what practical stuff can I do? And one of the key things people can do is keep that pressure on. And I think that it highlights again to the kind of the world, I suppose, the international community, that Ireland, you know, is not going to accept what Israel is engaged in. And I think it's the right decision, definitely, to be made.
Okay, Kathleen, can I ask you, look, speaking of a united Europe, or maybe a united front amongst Ireland's MEPs, doesn't always happen and breaks down on, I suppose, different lines in terms of which each party wants. I know you've been critical of your colleagues for not supporting, we're saying, a housing vote in recent days, although there's been criticism coming from Maria Walsh and others of your position on a key vote which happened in the European Parliament a number of days ago. This is that MEPs reassert unwavering commitment to Ukraine's independence, sovereignty and territorial integrity. The Commission should open negotiation clusters to advance the country's EU membership bid at the fastest pace possible, and the EU and its member states must remain UK strategic allies. Now, the motion passed 418 in favour, 135 against, with 41 abstentions. You were one of the abstentions, is that right?
Yeah.
Why did you abstain on that vote, and what's your view on the criticism that Maria Walsh and others have directed in your direction because of that position?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that. So in relation to the Ukraine abstentions, first of all, we 100% support Ukraine and 100% support their membership and their accession, and any humanitarian, you know, we've seen our own communities very much come together on that issue as well, and welcome, you know, whatever support that can be given. Where we abstain on motions in relation to Ukraine is where the militarization section goes far too much for us. We're a neutral country. We're very proud in Sinn Féin to stand up for Irish neutrality. We don't believe, for example, the triple lock should be taken away. And a lot of the motions in relation to Ukraine call for increased militarized assistance, and they call for all member states to give a certain percentage of military assistance to Ukraine. We don't agree with that, and that's why we abstain rather than vote against, because obviously there's some really good things in there around, you know, for example, Ukraine's accession to Europe. But we don't believe that Ireland should be providing military assistance in terms of weapons. I don't think that's the position of a neutral country.
Can I just ask you on that, notwithstanding that debate, we had Professor Donal Bacon, Professor of Politics in DCU, speaking about the way of the world yesterday, really, and he was talking in the context of, you know, drones going into Polish airspace and real concerns and fears now about Russia pushing the boundaries at all times, and Europe itself now is coming under threat. He made the point that 12% of the world's countries are democracies. We are not in the majority. And over the last 30 years, since the fall of the Berlin Wall, what had hoped had been was autocracies would start to crumble and we'd see the democratization of autocracies. He's arguing, not without merit, that we've seen now the autocratization of democracies. And saying that we shouldn't get involved or that we should stay neutral when things are backsliding and countries are being invaded and people are being killed, is that not just burying your head in the sand and not accepting the reality of the uncertain world we're in, that we should pray here? Like, we've been down this road before in this world. 70 years ago, 80 years ago, Western countries were hugely unprepared for what Germany did and had to scramble to adapt. Is your line of thinking not taking us down that road with Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, and the North Korean leader having military parades and, you know, believing in a new world order? They're now in charge.
Well, first of all, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do anything, and I don't think that that would be acceptable. There's lots of roles for us to play. We have a very proud tradition of peacekeeping troops, for example. We know very well about that. And as I said, in terms of humanitarian assistance, in terms of, you know, having when the war first broke out in Ukraine and the amount of Ukrainian people that were welcome, rightly so, in Ireland, and all of the various stuff that was put in place to make that transition easier for people. But we are a neutral country, and I think Irish people feel very strongly about this. And I think if there is to be any questions about that, well, have a referendum and put it to the people and see what way the Irish people want to move forward. I don't think that, given the uncertainty that we're living in, that it's actually right for us to be looking at, you know, getting involved in conflicts from a military point of view. And I actually don't think
Do you think we'd be neutral if we were Estonia or Latvia, if that was our geographical position in Europe?
I understand that it's different for different countries, and I respect each country's autonomy to decide that and their sovereignty to decide that for themselves, what role they go down. But in general, this drive towards militarization in Europe, and we're seeing it all of the time. You know, we heard Ursula von der Leyen talk about 800 billion rearm, program. You know, I don't think that that's the direction that
you don't believe that's the way we should be going.
No, and I think it's very worrying. And to be honest, I don't think Irish people support that. And the other thing, for any MEP that does support that, and I am a big believer in us working together as much as possible, but I think they need to be very honest with people and say, where do they believe those funds should come from? And if I could just go back to the housing vote, because that was a really, really important one as well. Now, it did actually get passed, which is great. But that motion was about allowing countries to invest more, this relaxation of fiscal rules, to invest more in housing. And that's the motion that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael MEPs voted against. And, you know, that needs to be highlighted as well, because we need to be doing everything that we can be doing from a European point of view, from all points of view in relation to housing.
Just a final point on this one. Does this not, and that vote, that abstention, not point to an accusation thrown at Sinn Féin before that you're soft on Russia? What's your response to that accusation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't accept that. You know, I think that we are very clear and very proud of our tradition in relation to, we don't believe that there should be more money going into military spending. I'm talking about military spending in this context, from a European context. We have long campaigned for better terms and conditions for our own defence forces, and we know that a lot of our equipment, for example, in our naval sector, and that needs to be upgraded, so we support that fully, and think our own government has a huge job of work to do in that sector. But as I say, we are not going to get involved, and I don't think that you can actually say that you are neutral and then support
increased military spending and sending military equipment abroad.
Yeah.
Okay, Cathy, in the few minutes we've left, a brief point from you, if you could. It's important from the point of view of your supporters here in Kerry. What's your view on the presidency? Should you have your own candidate? And why are you leaving it so late to get involved here to decide whether to support Catherine Connolly or have your own candidate in the race? Are you bypassing the presidential election?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think actually the process has been really good in terms of really trying to get as many members as possible to have their say in relation to the presidential election and the Ard Comhairle. I'm a member of the Ard Comhairle. We'll be meeting on September 20th, so the decision will be announced. I have said in the past, so it's not a big secret, that I would like to see a united candidate of the left. Now, I do think I really can see both points, because you know, there could be a huge opportunity here as well. If we did have a candidate, we are looking more and more towards United Ireland. I always think the irony of Brexit really having pushed that front and centre, and it is an opportunity. And I think anyone who does assume the presidency, you know, it's a hugely important role. I think Michael D. Higgins has done us, you know, really, he's done us all so proud. I think we're all really, it's probably one political point a lot of people can agree on. And I think, yeah, United Ireland and potential referendums and, you know, hopefully citizens' assemblies will all be in that next term of office.
So is it still an open question? Maybe Catherine Connolly, maybe your own candidate. You've yet to decide.
We've yet to decide, but as I say, and I try to be as upfront as I can be always, I have said in the past that I do think I love the coming together of the opposition. I love that we're getting a really good alternative to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and I think that gives people hope, and that's my own personal view. But as I say, the decision has yet to be made. But the 20th is the date, I suppose, that will be announced.
Okay. All right, Cathy. Well, look, thanks very much for talking to us. Good luck on your visit to Kerry today, and thanks for giving us
thanks
your time.
Thanks so much, Gerry. Thanks.
There you go, Cathy in function there, MEP for Sinn Féin for Ireland South, on our way to Kerry today, visiting the really good work that's been done in Adapt Women's Refuge, the expansion of services there, and Tiernanogue Early Years Centre and Education Centre as well. Lots of your views to get to. We'll get to those and more after we take these.